Money, Riches, and Wealth is sponsored by the Financial Consulate.
Say you don't need no diamond rings, and I'll be satisfied. Tell me that you want the kind of things the money just can't buy. I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love.
This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
And this is Drew Tignanelli here with Money, Riches, and Wealth, here with Tom Bombasuto.
Yes, sir. How you doing tonight, Drew?
I'm doing wonderful. Good. And again, this week we're on another open show. So our listeners get to be the guest. They get to call in and direct the conversation. 410-922-6680. 410-922-6680 if you want to call in and direct the conversation with whatever topic is of interest to you. That's the way to do it. And those who call in early get the most time. So call now if you want to talk about something. Maybe it's insurances, auto insurance, life insurance, homeowners insurance, umbrella insurance. Maybe it's about your 401k, your IRAs, your Roth IRA. End-of-the-year tax planning. There's a lot of end-of-year tax plan things you should be thinking about right now. Maybe it's about the new tax law and how does that apply to you with the, if you don't do your planning now, before you go to file your tax return next year, you're going to be making a big mistake because you could be losing out on 20% tax deduction if you own a business. You could be losing out on your charitable contributions if you don't have more than the standard deduction. Even if you have the standard deduction, you might more than the standard deduction might still lose. Mm-hmm. You know, the majority of your charitable contributions if you don't understand the tax law. And what is either going to happen is you're going to be crying when somebody explains to you what happened next year, or you're going to be oblivious to the fact that you did not get the economic advantage that you should have. These are all end-of-year tax plan things that have to be thought out right now. And, you know, unfortunately, most people think they have a financial advisor. They have money invested with somebody who gives them some forms of advice. But most financial advisors are not tax people. And in my opinion, it's just my opinion, this is why, you know, 30 years ago I became a CPA, is that a financial advisor needs to be tax knowledgeable. And it's critical, and as well as comprehensive knowledgeable about all areas of personal finance. This new tax law is a great example of why that tax knowledge is so critical to anybody who's claiming to be a financial advisor. So if you want to call in and ask your question, 410-922-6680. If you want to call in and ask a question, we do have Gene on the line. And do you have anything you wanted to add, Thomas, before we get going?
Yeah, I'd love to help out Gene. We'll start with Gene.
Gene is a G-E-N-E.
We're
guessing. Columbia.
We're guessing.
No, we've talked to Gene before. Okay. Gene, can we help you, sir?
It was a great, great opening for my question.
Yeah, what's up, my friend?
Explain to me what changes occurred. So when I file my taxes this year that specifically deal with how capital gains are taxed.
Well, I don't think there's a significant difference in how capital gains are taxed this year. The new tax law didn't address that in any significant way that I can think of. There's really nothing that, the only thing is that, your capital gains are part of your income,
right?
Okay? So, for example, if you had a business, that income, that capital gain, could move you over these magical marks of $157,005 or $315,000. You have to take that into consideration. If you have children, you got to be careful. If you take too large a capital gain, it could pop you over some of those other adjusted gross income limits that you have to be careful about. $160,000 for the American Opportunity Credit, $189,000 for the Roth IRA, $400,000 or $200,000 for the phase out of child tax credit. These are things that you have to be thinking about. But, overall, capital gains under the new tax law are pretty much the same.
Did you have something specifically, Gene, you were thinking about?
I thought I read an may be wrong. I thought I read an article in Kiplinger's about 4 months ago, and unless I remembered it wrong, that led me to believe that depending on your overall income, if the capital gains in your income was under a certain amount, a certain amount of the capital gains were taxed as zero.
That's correct. It's still the same as last year.
Okay. Well, that way, explain to me how it used to be, and that'll answer my question.
Well, it's not changed at all, other than the indexing of the bracket. So it's approximately you're married, right, Gene? If I remember.
I'll give you specifics. Let's say all the other income other than capital gains would be 120, and let's assume capital gains, long-term capital gains, are like they were last year, 60 or 70.
Okay, so overall we're talking about 180, 190,000 of total income.
Right.
In your situation, it's going to be pretty flat, simple. It's 15% federal, and then you have to pay it as ordinary income in the state of Maryland.
Okay.
So those capital gains are going to wallop you in Maryland because you're going over that 150 and that 175 marker, which all you have to do is go over by a dollar, and you lose the exemption deduction, which could add up for you and your spouse to be a good $6,000 of lost exemptions because of those capital gains.
Yeah, that's where they're going to get us this year.
Yeah, they're going to get you even more. They're going to hit you. You're not going to be able to itemize. If you don't itemize federal, you're not going to be itemizing state. They're going to probably take another 10 away from you because you can't itemize. So Maryland's going to wallop you because of those gains. But the tax laws last year and this year, pretty much the same. The 0% bracket for any gains, if your total net income is your taxable income is under, let's just call it $80,000, your capital gains are always considered the last income earned. And so if you could drop your taxable income all the way down to $80,000, then your capital gains would be taxed at zero.
Is that a joint return?
It's a joint return.
Yeah. Okay.
In a single return, it's about $39,000.
What's the next level above that? It's a jump all the way to
15% all the way up to $250,000 when it goes to 18.8%, because then you have to pay the NIIT tax,
right,
which is 3.8% extra. And then when you get to $400,000+, it goes to 20%, 23.8%, I should say.
$480,000.
At that point, $480,000. I wouldn't mind paying the tax.
Well, you know, I would disagree with you there. I think you ought to mind, because the tax laws ought to be fair. And they shouldn't be this ridiculous way that it's currently structured. Anyway, I got to run, Gene. Good question.
Good question.
We're on an open show tonight. We've got a couple callers on the line. We're going to take them as soon as we come back from this pause. But if you want to get online, 410-922-6680. We'll be right back. Money, Riches, and Wealth. This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, and president of the Financial Consulate. Are you looking for a professional financial advisor that you and your family can trust and count on for the rest of your life? The Financial Consulate, being fee only, is unable to take commissions or referral fees. We are independent of stockbrokers and insurance companies and work solely as a fiduciary in your best interest. These are the key ingredients of a professional financial advisor. If you've been wanting a second opinion, then consider our trademark service, the Financial Physical. We guarantee if you don't come away from your financial physical with a sense of immense value, then there will be absolutely no charge. Call 410-823-7283 to speak with me and the team of comprehensive personal financial advisors and CPAs. That is 410-823-SAVE, or go online to financialphysical.com to learn more. That is financialphysical.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
We're back. Money, Riches, and Wealth. We're here with Thomas Bombasuto, and we're taking an open show, 410-922-6680, if you want to call in and ask a question. And we do have listeners on the line, so we're going to John in Glen Burnie. John, how can we help you?
How you doing, Drew? Thanks for taking my call.
Great to talk to you. What can we do?
All right, thanks. Just a question. I've been confused about it for a couple of years. My employer takes money out from my health plan, takes it out before deductions.
Taxes, right.
So it's not a a deduction I can take on my tax form. Isn't that right?
Well, it's true, but that's the way you want it. You want it to come out before tax, so you didn't pay taxes on it anyway, so you definitely don't want the deduction.
You know, I've never, ever seen it in any of my tax programs I've used to prepare taxes. It never really explained that. It just made sense. I mean, I've been doing it now for about 5 or 6 years, I believe.
Yeah, well, you know, it is complicated because if you actually pay the premium and after tax dollars, you can bring it on as an itemized deduction. But you never want to do that. You always want it to be before tax before you even worry about your Schedule A itemized deductions. That's what your employer's doing, and he's doing it the right way.
Right.
And so it works out great for you. And there's lots of other things like that, too, that happen. For example, if you ever worked for your employer and you drove your car for business or you bought tools for business or something like that, you know, your employer should reimburse you for those expenses or reimburse you for at least some of it, because before you could take it off on your tax return, well, now you can't even take it as an itemized deduction. So there's a lot of those things where you want the employer to help you do it before tax rather than worrying about your own personal return.
Right. Okay, well, thanks so much. I appreciate your program.
All right, guy. Take care. Thank you. Have a great holiday there. Mm-hmm. And we're going to Washington, our good friend in Pasadena. Washington, how can we help you?
Good evening, Drew and Tom.
Good evening.
What's happening?
I have a question. My long-term care insurance company sent me a letter indicating that they have to raise rates for the group because of, they're losing money, basically. And they're giving me two options. I can keep my current annual inflation rate, or I can reduce the annual inflation rate to bring the premiums to what it was before.
Are you in the federal government long-term plan? Because I've heard that they're raising rates again.
No, it's outside of the federal government plan.
Okay, so this is a private policy you're in.
Yes.
Okay.
So I can afford the premium increase. I don't believe it's a problem. And they say they're phasing in over a couple of years anyway.
So how much a daily benefit do you have or monthly benefit do you have? What's your policy offer in daily or monthly benefits for long-term care with the new increase?
Well, it's still a five-year benefit plan. Oh. I'm sorry. It's the daily benefit's $218.
$218. So that's a reasonable benefit that would cover about 100% of assisted living, and it might only cover about 65% of a full long-term care facility. So if you can afford the premium, it would probably be wise to go ahead and let the increase go through. If you wanted to save a little money, you know, it doesn't hurt to.
What are the inflation rates, Washington, that they're talking about, to keep it versus to adjust?
Right. That's a good question, because right now my current annual inflation rate is 5% compound inflation. And to reduce the premiums, they're going down to 4.3% compounding.
Well, you know, 4.3, and I don't think it's a.
And what's the difference in premium amounts?
So if I keep it at the current annual inflation rate, it's going to be about $1,400. And then if I want the reduced amount, it's going to be about $1,242.
You know, 4.3% wouldn't be anything to be concerned about. Most people buying new policies aren't even getting 3%. They're getting a general cost of living increase up to a maximum of 3%, which many times that's only been 1.5%, 2% that they've been getting every year. So, 4.3% is not a bad increase.
Or a decrease in my case if I want to go from 5%
to 4%. That's true. Right. It's not a bad decrease from the 5% you're currently at.
Well, I guess the thing is, if I elect not to take it, I guess in the future – they may have something similar in terms of an offer, but I guess, as I said, I can afford the premiums for now. So, in your opinion, it probably doesn't make a difference one way or the other as to whether I go ahead and take the reduced premiums or go ahead?
I don't think it's going to put you in jeopardy if you go down to the 4.3%. That's what I'm trying to say. So if you want to save the money, great. If you decide not to, you can always elect. You can always contact the insurance company and tell them to drop you down to 4% in the future. You know, that's something you can yourself just call them up and do.
Okay. All right. Well, that gives me some very good options in order to consider them.
All right, Washington. You take care. Good talking to you. Have a great holiday. Good Christmas.
Thank you. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Bye. We're going to Marvin in Pikesville. Marvin, how can we help you?
Good evening. Terrific show.
Well, thanks.
When you have a stock that you purchase and it has a split, the basis for the new stock is what?
Well, it'll be whatever the split is. So if the split's 2-for-1, then your basis, if it was 20, it would now be 10.
Okay. Now, what happens if you have a spinoff?
That gets a little more complicated. You got to go to the reorg papers that they gave you, and the reorg papers will explain to you what the new basis is in the spun-off company and what remains in the parent company. So, for example, if Hewlett-Packard spun off from HPQ, okay, and then they spun off a couple other things, each time they did that, they said, 52.8% of your basis stays with HPE and 40-some percent goes to HPQ, and then with this one, then you got to take this off of this, and it gets really complicated.
Well, let me ask you this. Don't you have an option tax-wise to either pick up a zero base or...
Not that I know. If the company has done the corporate accounting in XYZ format, now what you could be talking about, Marvin, is if you have a company doing a spinoff like we had with our client today,
mm-hmm.
and you
mm-hmm.
elect to do a cash liquidation,
mm-hmm.
But they're not guaranteeing that you're going to get it all. It depends on how many people ask for a cash liquidation. Then you could have some that's realized for cash, and then whatever that percentage is.
A fractional share.
Well, no, it's more than a fractional share. Like LaSalle Corporation was bought out. When it was bought out, they said, you can put in to redeem all of your shares, but we're only going to put up so much cash for those who redeem. And if too many people redeem, you're only going to get a certain portion redeemed, and then the rest you're going to get in stock in the new company. And so in that situation, he had about 30% of his money mm-hmm. was liquidated. He had to pay tax on. The remaining 70% of his original investment went to the new company. Therefore, 70% of his basis rolled over to the new company. And normally the reorg paperwork is going to explain what you can and cannot do.
And the custodian should be keeping track of that. Now, if this was done a long time ago before they were required to do that,
that's true.
Then you could be in, so if you have AT&T, the old Ma Bell stuff, that's a mess.
That's a big
But
mess.
If it's something recent, it should be tracked by your broker.
Well, how do they track it? Do they just give you the figure? They don't tell you how they arrive at it?
No, it's in the reorg paperwork. You know, if you go online, any company that's doing a... divestiture or anything of that mm-hmm. sort, then you have a situation where they say this is what type it in. What company are you dealing with? Is there one specific or is this just a general question?
General question.
Now, mm-hmm. if you have something like that ever, Marvin, you just, Google search it. What's the percentage of the transaction for this deal? What's it going to, and so forth. And you'll see it. You go look up Kimberly Clark. They spun off Hallison Health, or I think it was what it was called a few years ago. And the reorg paperwork will explain to you how much went to Hallison, how much went to stayed with Kimberly. And all of them do that. All right, buddy?
Thank you very much.
All right, take care. Right. We're going to go to traffic. We'll be right back. Money, Riches, and Wealth. This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, and president of the Financial Consulate. Are you looking for a professional financial advisor that you can trust and help you through all stages of life? Having a team of comprehensive personal financial advisors and CPAs gives us the ability to help you prepare your tax return, strategize to help you minimize tax liability, help you visualize and reach your retirement goals, and help guide you in every other facet of personal financial planning. We demonstrate these abilities every Wednesday night on our radio show, Money, Riches, and Wealth. Have you been wanting a second opinion? Then consider our trademark service, the Financial Physical. We guarantee if you don't come away from your financial physical with a sense of immense value, then there will be absolutely no charge. Call 410-823-7283 to speak with me and the team of comprehensive personal financial advisors and CPAs. That is 410-823-SAVE or go online to financialphysical.com. That's financialphysical.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Gosh, I know this one, you know? Sometimes late, oh, gosh. Things are real. No, wait, don't tell me. Pure Prairie Lake. See, I told you. Why is it you don't ever listen to me, Chris?
Never agrees.
No, he doesn't. Anyway, we're here on an open show, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680, if you want to call in. We have about 15, 20 minutes left in the show. We should be able to handle a couple more callers. We have Lincoln on the line. We're going to go to him in a second. But if you want to call in, direct the remainder of the show's conversation to your topic of choice, 410-922-6680. And we're going to Lincoln in Kent Island. Lincoln, how can we help you?
Pretty good. I think that was America, that last song.
You got it.
Yeah, well, that's okay. What Chris thought, too, Lincoln, but I know it was Pure Prairie Lake. But go ahead.
No, it's not Pure Prairie Lake.
Lincoln, go ahead and ask your question, because obviously you don't know enough about music to be acting like an authority on it. But go ahead, Lincoln.
This probably, I don't know if this is in your alley, but I had recently took out a title loan on my truck, and it was in August, and they gave me $1,600, and then they didn't send me the contract till like 3 weeks later in the mail, and I realized it had a 29.68% interest rate on it, and that's, a lot of people told me that that's not legal in the state of Maryland.
I'm not sure. I don't know that it's illegal in Maryland. I don't know what the usury rate is for Max. Can you look it up, Tom?
Yeah.
I don't think. I think 33 is something that comes across to my mind in Maryland's usury laws. Why would you have done a loan that high?
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was ridiculous, being that I was putting, you know, my vehicle as collateral. But anyway, I switched it over to Bay Country, which gave me a 17.99% interest rate. But from $1,600 till October, from August to October, my bill turned out to, it was over $3,000 that they charged me in interest.
Wow.
And how much money how much money did you borrow?
$1,600.
$1,600 charged you $3,000 in a
$3,223 was the final.
Now that would be illegal. You know, you can't borrow $1,600. That's the loan shark rate, you know. So
they said in order to get the loan, I had to buy life insurance, which I already had life. I mean, I don't have life. I donated my body to science many years ago.
Right.
Donated to Johns Hopkins Research. But they said in order to get this loan, you have to buy life insurance.
Well, you know, they can't force you to do that, but yes, they do kind of give that indication. But it's not legal to actually force you to do that, to give the loan. But you signed off on and said you were you wanted to buy it. So that's the problem. They can say.
I mean, I was kind of desperate at the time, and they just kind of threw a bunch of, like, 300 papers in my face. I had the initial.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize what I was doing at the time.
I would make a complaint to the Maryland Banking Commission and see if they can intervene on your behalf.
Okay. I just want to know.
Yeah, I would definitely be doing that.
Of course. To get some of my money back.
I would do it because, you know, what they did to you is downright criminal. So, you know, I would definitely make a petition with them.
Yeah.
All right?
Can I mention the company?
Well, no, you can't mention. Chris says you can't mention the company. But if you ever did mention the company, we definitely want nobody to ever work with them.
That's right.
Yeah, that's what I wanted. That's more or less what I wanted to do. But okay.
All right, Lincoln, you take care.
Yeah.
We'll see you. Bye. Yeah, that's a shame. I hate when you hear those kind of stories.
I mean,
you just want to go out and take those kind of people and just put them in a big hole and throw cement on top of them and say, you know, you don't deserve to be in business anymore.
Right, right. Especially when they pull a fast one on somebody like that.
Yeah, you know it's people like Lincoln, you know, they need the help. You know, you can charge them a fair interest rate,
right.
17% or 18%. And, you know, and call it a day. You don't have to rip them off and have them sign all kinds of garbage and steal money off
mm-hmm.
of people.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we're going to Gary in Columbia. Gary, how can we help you?
Hey, Drew. Thanks for taking my call.
What's up, man?
What can you tell me about a backdoor Roth IRA contribution? What is it, and when would you use it?
Well, let me just ask you a question. Are you single or married?
I'm single now.
Single now. So do you make over $120,000 a year?
No, but I'm thinking of doing this for my children.
What, are your children single or married?
They're married.
They make over $190,000 a year?
Yes.
They do make over $190,000. Well, good for your kids. So the way that this works, and it's very complicated, and it's often misunderstood, but the way it works, Gary, is you have to make sure you have no traditional IRA pre-tax money. So let's say your children had worked with one company and they left that company and they had a 401k there and they rolled it to an IRA. And then they go work for a new company and they work for that company and they have a new 401k today. So they have the old 401k rolled over to an IRA. And they have a new company with their new 401k. Let's say in this IRA we have $10,000, $20,000, mm-hmm. and it's all pre-tax money, okay? So the way the backdoor Roth works, and this is only for people who make over the limit that you can do a Roth. So if you make under the limit, there's no reason to be doing a backdoor Roth. It's only for people who make over the limit. And if you're married, that limit is $190,000. It's $189,000 for 2018. It's $193,000 for 2019. So we might as well talk 19 numbers. Uh-huh. And if somebody makes over that limit, what we do is we put the your children are probably not over the age of 50. We put the $6,000 into the IRA, and it's considered an after-tax, non-deductible contribution.
Uh-huh.
And then when they file their income tax return, they have to file a Form 8606 and say to the IRS, hey, I didn't get a tax deduction for this money. Okay, so now the $6,000 is sitting in the IRA.
Uh-huh.
They did not get a tax deduction on it, okay? Uh-huh. Now, before the end of the year, I've got to get that other $10,000 or $20,000 of pre-tax IRA out of there, or else I've got to convert it all and pay taxes on that $10,000 or $20,000. So what we do is we take that $10,000 or $20,000 and we roll it into their new 401k plan. That gets rid of the money from the IRA.
Uh-huh.
And then the only thing left in the IRA is the after-tax $6,000 non-deductible money.
Okay.
And they've got to make sure they have no IRAs anywhere. So let's say this $6,000 is sitting at Schwab. Uh-huh. They can't have other money sitting at T. Rowe Price or Vanguard or anything like that. This money's got to be the only IRA money they've got left.
Uh-huh.
And then I convert it to a Roth anytime later in the year. And when I do that, at the next tax filing, they're going to say, hey, you took $6,000 out of your IRA. You owe taxes on it.
Uh-huh.
And you did a conversion. And you say, yes, I did a conversion, but remember my 8606 said I didn't get a tax deduction for it. So it's after-tax money. And they say, oh, yeah, that's right. And they say, okay, it's tax-free. And you got an IRA, Roth IRA contribution, despite the fact that your income was way over the $193,000.
Can the amount be more than $6,000?
No. It can be per spouse. So if they're married, they could do it twice. So they could do $6,000 each. So it would be $12,000. But no, you can't. No one individual can put more than six in unless you're over 50. Then you can do seven.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
But it's basically $6,000 to $7,000. Somebody mentioned to me that if you got a bundle of money, like an inheritance, you could give that to your children at
No, but there is another concept known as the Super Roth, which if your 401k plan offers non-deductible contributions, you can do something pretty cool for another $20,000 or $30,000 of Roth money. But that's a lot more complicated, and you better have your ducks in a row before you try that one. I got to run, Gary.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. That was a good explanation. Thank you.
All right. All right, I've got to go to traffic. We'll be right back. Open show here on Money, Rich, and Wealth. Take it away, traffic.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
We're back, Money, Riches, and Wealth. We have about 7 minutes left in the show. We're on an open show. Nobody's on the line, so if you want to call in and ask a question, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. A lot of great questions tonight, a lot of diverse questions. And the usury rate in Maryland that we found out was 24%, but there's a lot of nuances to that. Mm-hmm. So it's not just simply, yeah, it's 24%. Nobody can charge you just over 24%. There's lots of little, you know, ways to maneuver higher on those rates and so forth. So, but we'll just take that 24% as the max rate, in case anybody was curious. So we're on an open show, 410-922-6680, if you want to call in and ask a question. Next week, Tom, we're going to have Mark Kiner and Jim Blair. And Jim Blair is, they both work in this consulting for Social Security.
Right.
But they also formed, what, NSSA or something like that?
Yeah, the National Social Security Association.
Yeah. I don't know what they do.
Yep. And Jim actually worked at Social Security for 35 years.
Just like Mr. Social Security himself.
That's right.
Himself, Tom.
Himself.
It was himself.
That's right.
You know? We think Jack, Mr. Social Security himself, is kind of getting a little stale. You know, he hasn't been with him for almost 12, 14 years.
Yeah, and things keep changing.
And things keep changing, you know. So, he still's teaching. He still tries to stay up on it. But we thought we'd get some fresh blood in on Social Security. We'll see how Jim and Mark do, if they're nearly as entertaining and educational as Mr. Social Security himself.
So.
Lynn in Northwest Baltimore, how can we help you?
Hi. I'm trying to consolidate some retirement accounts. I have a small 403B. Can I move that to either a regular IRA or a Roth?
Well, you can move them both to you can move it to either the regular IRA or the Roth, but if you go to the regular IRA, it's tax deferred. If you go to the Roth, you have to pay taxes on all the money that moves into the Roth on that year's tax return. And then it'll begin to grow tax-free, but only after you pay the taxes on the amount of money that goes from the 403B to the Roth.
Okay. So the 403B is in like a mutual fund?
Yep.
So
it'll be liquidated, and then you will get cash, and then you can rebuy that fund when it gets over to the IRA or the Roth, or you can buy anything else you desire to.
Got it. But there's nothing hindering me from moving it. Okay.
No, ma'am. And you're absolutely right. You should consolidate. You should consolidate all your old 401Ks and 403Bs and even old IRAs out there into one IRA, one Roth account. In other words, any after-tax Roth money should be in one Roth IRA and one traditional IRA. You don't want to leave your family 10, 15 different retirement accounts that they have to go and deal with.
And you don't want to have to figure out the required
minimum from every single one
right.
of them.
That's right.
Right.
That's
right. You're absolutely right. There's so many benefits of consolidating.
Right.
All right? But there's nothing stopping you from doing that.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, we could have gotten into some of the conversation about some of the unique things, like
right.
she had a lawsuit against her. She might not want to do it,
right.
but she didn't sound like that kind of person
no.
going around
no.
punching people or anything like that.
No, she sounded
like
pretty,
that,
pretty good.
Pretty
solid. Good citizen there.
Let's go
yep.
to Dave in Arbutus. Dave, how can we help you?
Yeah, I've had an advisor that's contacted me, and he's kind of got looked over my portfolio. One of the things he's recommended to me is a whole life insurance policy. Both of my sons are out of school and graduated from college, and I really don't have any debt. And he's talking to me about it more as retirement, and I'm just a little confused. I mean, I can always use life insurance, of course, but I mean, is it something that I really do need? Because it's
well, let me ask you a quick question, Dave. Whose retirement are you most concerned about, yours or the insurance advisor's? Well, I'm just saying.
Mine, I would hope.
Okay, well, then you probably need to get away from this guy. Now, there is an exception, okay? So are you maxing out all of your 401k contributions? Are you maxing out all of your Roth IRA contributions or doing the backdoor Roth like we just talked about with the other gentleman a second ago, even if your high income is very high? Are you maxing out all your health savings account if you have one available to you? If you're doing everything you could possibly do and you still have positive cash flow, there is a possibility that that could work out to your advantage. But I've had a hard time ever seeing a client truly benefit from. Now, there are insurance agents just going ape out there right now when I say that, because they're so confident. They have to be confident if they're going to sell this stuff. They have to be confident. So are you maxing everything out?
I am. I'm maxing out my retirement with my employer, plus also my Roth IRA. So, retirement-wise, I feel like I'm pretty well on pace.
Have you paid have you paid down your mortgage? What kind of interest rate do you have on your house?
I have no mortgage whatsoever. So
you got a lot of cash flow still, though?
Yes.
And
yes.
you're going to continue to make that cash flow for a long time coming?
Yes. Yes. Like I said, I'm in my mid-50s right now, and I foresee actually my income actually increasing in the position and with the company I'm with.
Okay. So then if those are all true and there's nothing else out there, and I don't know that because I don't know your situation, that there's no other significant tax advantage other than an insurance policy, then you possibly could look at the concept. But if I were you, I would make sure that you get lots of good advice as to options, not just the one they're showing you, because I can tell you one thing. If you're looking at an insurance policy, there's a huge difference between different companies and what you will ultimately have, because remember, fees are the big thing. And if you're paying commissions to an agent to buy a policy, chances are that policy is not going to outperform a policy that you could buy with as little or no commission as possible in it.
Well, he had asked me about, because I do have a positive cash flow, and actually adding more money to the policy than what would be required through premiums, fairly substantial amount. So what would that, I'm not sure really what that meant.
Well, you're going to have to hold on for me, and I'll answer that when I get off air. I'll put you on hold, and we'll come back to you, okay? Off air.
All right.
All right.
All right, thank you.
Well, I'm sorry I couldn't answer the rest of that.
For everybody else, but you'll answer it for Dave.
Right. But it's really the insurance agent's retirement that he's thinking about, not Dave's. Anyway, this is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless.
Things are gonna be